Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, it's Monty. Welcome to the Rockcast.
We're getting sick and tired of this.
I've got all kinds of cool things in store for you today, including the Battle of the Bands. And I could make you wait till the end of the show for that, but I'm not going to because I know most of you are too excited.
We're all sitting here with bated breath.
I've been holding this competition for months now, but here we are at the semifinals. And I know some of you have probably had a hard time understanding why I've picked certain winners. But the truth is, this hasn't been about who the best musicians were. This has been all about what I like. And if I thought your song was quirky or a little different or memorable, I went with that.
Bad decision.
But thanks to everyone who sent in a song, and hopefully we'll do another one of these soon. But right now, it's time for the final four. And in this first matchup, we've got Chris Atherton against Brian Eckhard. And the name of Chris's band is Radio 9. And here's their song, Blue Dream. Just good straight-ahead rock and stuff from Chris Atherton. But here's his opponent, Brian, with his project Giggle Snort Motel. And the song is Ninjas at a Drive-Thru. Well, as I've said before, that's a very memorable song with a catchy chorus. And that's kind of a unique talent to be able to write something that will stick in people's heads. All that said, both of these songs were good, but based on its originality, I'm going to go with Brian, the Giggle Snort Motel, and Ninjas at a Drive-Thru to move on to the finals. Okay, the next matchup of the semifinals is between Brandon Webb and Steve Ellison. And Steve lives in Reno, and apparently he is one of these all-around talented guys. He's a photographer, he's a really good artist, and he wrote a song called Highway of Life. And here you go. Steve has a band called Zero Gravity, but when they recorded this song, they were called All for Nothing. And hopefully that's not the way Steve feels about entering this contest.
This is beyond pointless, and it is almost beyond stupid.
Anyway, Steve's opponent is Brandon Webb, who lives in Houston, Texas. And the name of his song is Ellen DeGeneres.
So here I am, right before you. Down on my luck, but it's all cool. Not in my time, yet in God's time, everything will be alright. Because Ellen DeGeneres is a selfless soul. She brings happiness to people in the world.
Now, I know there's a lot of people out there listening right now that would like me to stop playing this song because, let's be honest, you can't get it out of your head, can you?
Please let this nightmare stop!
But I'm sorry, this is a song of hope. And when I hear this, I think of Bono from U2 or We Are the World. And if I'm having a bad day or a bad month or year or a bad life, I just think, you know, it's okay. Why? Because Ellen DeGeneres is a selfless soul. That's why. And that's also why Brandon Webb is moving on to the finals. That's right.
She's so generous.
Yes, she is.
To people in the world.
All right. Ellen DeGeneres is a selfless soul. I can't help it, I gotta sing. She's so generous to people in the world.
What the hell was that?
You know, it's been kind of a slow year so far for new music. But believe it or not, there actually has been a lot of music and rock on TV. And of course, I've got nothing better to do than to watch it and then tell you about it.
Wow, what a waste.
Now, the first thing I saw was Sonosphere on the Palladia channel. And that's a rock and metal festival held over in England each year. And you mainly got two or three songs from several bands like Metallica, Alice in Chains, and Anthrax. But also on the bill was Dream Theater, and I know a lot of you listeners out there like Dream Theater.
Oh, nerds!
Yeah, you know who you are.
Running around with their pocket protectors and their white short sleeve shirts.
But every time I watch Dream Theater, I always think, my God, how do they do that? And then I think, why do they do that? Can it really be that fun just standing there trying to remember all those notes?
No!
Yeah, I don't know, but they're amazing players.
They're crazy!
Then again, if Dream Theater isn't your thing, how about Weezer? Or ZZ Top? Or how about putting them together and making Weezy Top?
Huh?
And that's what happened on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. I love both bands, and all the members from both bands got together on the same stage and played Sharp Dress Man. Of course, the great Billy Gibbons played some lead guitar and traded off lead vocals with Weezer lead vocalist Rivers Cuomo. However, if you missed all that, don't worry about it because it actually sounds better than it was. It was actually kind of sloppy, and Weezer's drummer was playing some lead guitar. And so, not the most thrilling thing in the world to see, but interesting. Now, the next thing I watched was a documentary about Quiet Riot called Well, Now You're Here, There's No Way Back. And it was not only interesting, at times it was cringeworthy, and once in a while even kind of funny. However, I don't think funny is what they had in mind. This movie was supposed to be kind of a sobering look at how their drummer, Frankie Benali, was dealing with the death of Kevin DeBrow, who passed away of an overdose back in 2008.
He died?
You see, back in 83, Quiet Riot became one of the biggest bands in the world for a few months. And they're kind of responsible for all the glam hair metal bands that ended up getting signed after that. To To which I say, yeah, Quiet Riot, thank you for Kick Tracy, Poison, and Bang Tango.
Rot in hell.
Regardless, after Kevin DeBrow died, the drummer, Frankie Benali, was basically left without a career. So after he had sat around for a couple years, he decides, hey, I'm going to start up Quiet Riot again, and I'm going to go on tour with three new guys that no one's ever heard of. And that's where it kind of gets funny. You see him auditioning the new lead singer, and this one guy is really good. He sounds exactly like Kevin DeBrow, but he's like got gray hair and he's a house painter. And they expect him just to walk on stage and be a rock star like Kevin DeBrow. But instead, things go surprisingly awry.
Shocking!
So there's some laughs in this thing, and I also enjoyed watching the bass player continually have problems getting his amp to work. Every time he was about to walk on stage, he was like, hang on, I got nothing. And I could so relate to that. But whether you love or hate Quiet Riot, I think you'll dig this documentary. I was never a fan myself, but there's some pretty cool behind-the-scenes stuff. Reminds me a little bit of that Anvil movie.
I have never seen that before.
Another show that was on the Palladia channel was titled The Call, a tribute to Michael Biehn. And when I saw this listed, I went, a tribute? Because, to be honest, I didn't know that Michael Biehn had died, and apparently he had back in 2010.
Get out! He died?
But for those of you who aren't familiar with The Call, they were a cool band that was around back in the 80s. And people like Peter Gabriel loved them. He took them on tour with him. And I saw them open for Simple Minds, and they were kind of reminiscent of U2 or something like that. And the singer was Michael Biehn, who had this real passionate voice, and the lyrics were kind of spiritual. And The Call got kind of adopted by the Christians as one of their pet bands. But I saw him a couple of times, and Michael Biehn was not Billy Graham. I'm just saying.
What are you talking about, you deranged idiot?
But anyway, I was kind of a fan for a while, and I loved their Reconcile album. And you probably remember hearing stuff like I Still Believe and Everywhere I Go.
Raise me up. Keep that promise that you made. Wake me up. Keep that promise that you made. Nothing of you.
So anyway, I see this Call concert listed on my TV guide, and so I taped it. And it turned out to be a show that was filmed about a year ago. And what they did was The Call got Michael Biehn's son, who plays in a band called Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, to play bass and sing lead vocals, just like his dad. And it actually kind of worked. He looks like his dad, he plays the same kind of basses, and overall he did a great job. The only negative I would say is that Michael Biehn was such a huge presence on stage, and I don't mean just fat. He was just very charismatic, and his son doesn't really have the intensity he did. But if you remember The Call and you were a fan at all, like I was, you might want to check that out, either on DVD or maybe Palladio will play it again sometime.
They were singing in our beds that night. There were strangers in the streets that night. The preacher cried out, hell's been raised. The preacher cried out, hell's been raised. Another hot Oklahoma night. Another hot Oklahoma night. The kind of night where you just sit still. The kind of night where you just don't move. We were shaking in our beds that night. We were shaking in our boots that night. Tornado hit in the roof.
So I know you're sitting there right about now and you're wanting to ask me, hey, Monty, did you watch the Grammys?
I say no, there's no way.
Well, of course I did. And just like I do every year, here is my Grammy recap.
I beg you! Don't do this thing!
So you know how I complain every year about how the Grammys ignore all hard rock and metal? Well, kind of like Eddie Trunk thinks that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame actually listens to him. Well, I think the Grammys must have been listening to my show. Because this year, the opening act of the Grammys is AC/DC. And sure, they waited till these guys were almost 70, but they finally put them on there. And they opened with the new song Rock or Bust, and then they went into Highway to Hell after that. And it was kind of funny to see black rappers and Lady Gaga and a bunch of country people watching them. But it was nice to see Angus and the gang crash this stupid party. But they are getting older, and you could kind of tell it. They were still awesome, but even Angus seemed like he was in a little bit lower gear than in the past. But after they were through rocking, it was time to get down to the same old crap that we always get. And of course, this show was once again hosted by LL Cool J. What, Pitbull wasn't available?
I guess not!
Of course, you know the cynic I am. I think all these award shows are about political agendas. Hollywood is all about gay rights, women's rights, transvestites' rights, you name it. And therefore, Sam Smith got his first of about four Grammys, including Best New Artist, Best Pop Vocal Album, Song of the Year, Record of the Year, and he came out of the closet on the same night.
Fabulous!
Well, what a coincidence.
Shocking.
And then we got a performance by Ariana Grande, who I really like. Until she opens her mouth, and then I absolutely hate her.
You're mean.
If you've seen her work on Nickelodeon, you already knew that she was a horrible actress. But I swear to God, her singing makes me want to punch myself in the throat. I'm already looking forward to the day when we're all saying, Ariana Grande, I don't remember, who the hell was she? But until then, I'm hoping she'll just take the Tiffany or Debbie Gibson route, pose for Playboy, and then just go away.
That would be all right.
Now, the Grammys are usually about 3.5 hours long, and 98% of this show is performances. And this year, they tried to please everybody. You got blues, rock, pop, Latin stuff, country stuff. And they even brought out some old guys to sing some standards. You had Tom Jones singing with Jesse J, and Tom still got it. But you also got Tony Bennett singing with Lady Gaga, and I didn't want it.
Gaga!
We also got a very boring, auto-tuned performance from Kanye West, and a big production number with hundreds of dancers from Madonna.
Yeah.
And as I'm watching Madonna, I'm thinking, well, she's still got a mediocre voice, and she's an average dancer. But bless her heart, she is the reason why today we have Beyoncé, Miley Cyrus, and Lady Gaga.
Kill me!
They all got it from you, so thank you, Madonna. You've produced a whole generation of women who aren't afraid to be a weirdo or a skank.
Yay!
Of course, this is an award show, so they had to give out a couple of those. And for Best Rock Album, it went to Beck. And I'll have to admit, I'd kind of forgotten about him. I didn't even realize he was still around. But I understand him winning the Grammy because the people who vote for the Grammys are the kind of people who want you to think they are really hip and with it. And saying that you like Beck is kind of like you saying, I like Radiohead.
They're amazing.
Oh, yeah, I love Radiohead. Have you heard the new Beck album? Oh, fantastic.
It's incredible.
Oh, the guy's a genius.
He is the greatest phenomenon to ever cross the horizon of this world.
I'm pretty sure they have no idea why they think he's a genius, but maybe it's the same reason why they think Beyoncé is amazing. And she got the award for Best R&B, or as I like to call it, Best Rhythm and Black.
Say what?
Now, I usually hate everything about the Grammys, but not this year, because they had ELO play, Evil Woman, and Mr. Blue Sky, and they were awesome. And Jeff Lynne rules. I love that guy. But I did think it was funny that the same audience who had just given Beyoncé a standing ovation just sat there. And the only guy who stood up was in the front row, and that was Paul McCartney. So it was good to know that at least one person in that entire crowd had some taste.
They're truly rotten people.
But then it was time to get back to some performances, and Pharrell sang his hit song, Happy.
Huh?
Yeah, you know the one. I'm so happy, happy.
I've heard it.
Well, anyway, that got everyone in a great mood, because, you know, it's happy. Everyone's happy. But immediately after that, we got a videotaped speech from Obama, and he was pretty much telling us to stop raping and beating our wives.
That's just how white folks will do you.
Yeah, thanks for the buzzkill there, Barack.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that wasn't enough. After that, they had a woman who I have never heard of come out and tell how she was in an abusive relationship with some horrible man. And she was very emotional, and I gotta be honest, by the time she was through, I wanted to beat her.
What?
Well, not really, but I did get the message, and that is, men suck.
I find men, frankly, repulsive.
Yeah, so I'm not real sure why that had to be part of the Grammys, but I think we all learned a lot.
No, you didn't.
So we got preached at all night by people who hate people who are preachy. Including Prince, who, when he came out to give the Album of the Year award, he said, albums still matter, like books and black lives.
Oh, yeah!
That's right. Black lives matter. Unborn babies' lives? Well, you know, we'll have to debate that.
That's right.
And the lives of white cops? Screw them.
I know it's the truth!
You know, when it comes to Prince, though, can we all just agree that the guy is a genius and also a huge douche?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Prince, do you really have to walk around with a cane? I've seen you do the splits. And for the record, that orange outfit you had on made you look like a huge tool, but that's just my opinion.
Everybody got one and they all stink.
But like I said, Prince was there to give away the award for Album of the Year, which went to Beck. And since none of us had heard anything off of the new Beck album, Beck and Chris Martin played a song off of it. And, you know, I gotta say, Beck's performance was, oh, yeah, amazing. Oh, yeah.
He was incredible.
A less impressive performance was by Eric Church, who kind of sang off-key, and frankly, I thought he kind of sucked.
That's crazy!
We also got a performance of the song Chandelier by a chick named Sia, who, for some reason, doesn't want to show her face and sang the entire song face seen a wall.
And she's something of a weirdo.
There was also a very strange performance by Rihanna, Kanye West, and Paul McCartney. And I noticed two things about this. One was Paul McCartney looked very uncomfortable. He almost looked like he was walking up to the mic and kind of mouthing the words. But then again, Paul is getting up there in years, so maybe he didn't even know where he was.
He's old!
And the other thing I noticed was Nuno from Extreme was standing in the back playing guitar, and he just looked as happy as can be. And why wouldn't he be happy? I mean, he's playing guitar for Rihanna, and he must have no problem paying his rent.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Now, as far as Kanye West, I'm sure you've heard by now that once again, he made a real ass out of himself. He was protesting that Beyonce should have won the album of the year instead of Beck and all that kind of crap. And I've seen all kinds of people on Facebook criticizing Kanye and saying that he sucks and all that. But really, I think by this point, we all just need to understand that Kanye is just a brilliant self-promoter.
A-hole!
He's taken about a thimble full of talent and just caused everyone in the world to talk about him.
Jerk!
I mean, let's face it, he's married to Kim Kardashian.
A moron!
She is the queen of taking nothing and turning it into a career.
A slut!
So as much as I'd like to say that Kanye sucks, at this point, he just completely bores me.
He's a piece of excrement.
Of course, you knew there had to be a performance by Beyonce, but instead of grinding on a stripper pole, she did the song Take My Hand, Precious Lord.
That is sickening.
And as the credits rolled, there was a Mary J. Blige sighting. Why? Because it was an award show, that's why. You can't give away awards without Mary J. Blige getting up and singing.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, so that was it. And once again, I was pretty much nauseated. The telecast did have a couple of rock bands this time, but absolutely no metal. However, I found out later that an award that they did not show was for Best Metal, which went to Tenacious D. And don't get me wrong, I love Tenacious D, but they're a comedy act. So the Grammy voters are either a bunch of idiots or they intentionally just gave metal a big slap in the face. Either way, I'm a little bit pissed.
Because you're just too angry and emotional.
And I was even a little offended when they had the memorial part of the show. You know, the part where they have pictures of all the musicians and industry people who died during the year. And it finally got to the end and I realized, hey, no Wayne Static from Static X. And you may say, well, they just didn't have time. Well, that's fine, but they did apparently have time for every jazz musician who had kicked it over the last year, and Latin guys I had never heard of. And at one point, they even put up a picture of this guy named Gary Haber. And I'm pretty sure nobody listening right now knows who Gary Haber was, but the guys in Galactic Cowboys knew who Gary Haber was, because Gary Haber was our accountant.
Wow.
That's right, an accountant was part of the memorial, but not Wayne Static. So I say, screw the Grammys, I'm gonna have my own Wayne Static memorial right now.
Yeah, you're bullshit.
right. The last time I talked to Jimmy Jeff, things didn't go well. He got kind of upset with me, so I'm not sure how this will be, but let's give it a shot.
Jimmy Jeff's concert and CD reviews.
The views and opinions of Jimmy Jeff do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Rockcast.
Yep.
Any similarities between Jimmy Jeff and other morons, rednecks, or mentally impaired are merely coincidental.
I heard that.
On the phone, it's our good friend from Kansas City, Jimmy Jeff. How you doing, man?
Oh.
Jimmy?
Hello?
Yeah, Jimmy Jeff. This is Monty.
Hey, what in the hell is going on?
Well, not much, man. I was afraid you were never going to talk to me again.
What?
Yeah, you kind of got upset at me the last time you were on the show, and...
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, you must have me mixed up with somebody else. I don't remember.
All right. Are you okay, Jimmy Jeff?
Oh, yeah, man. And I am fine as wine.
Oh, I see. You've been drinking a little bit tonight, huh?
Well, yeah, man. I mean, I'm about on my 23rd beer, and I'm just starting to get a buzz.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, I hit the liquor store now on the way home from work. And I got me a couple of cases of the Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, well, that's great.
Oh, hell yeah, it is.
All right, well, the reason why I wanted to talk to you, Jimmy Jeff, is I wanted to get your takes on a couple of new albums.
Well, I tell you what, dude, there ain't a lot of people around these parts that know more about music than I do.
Oh, well, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, you know me. I like all kinds of music.
Sure.
I like everything from Dawkins to Cinderella to Shinedown.
Did you say Shinedown?
Damn straight.
Okay, well, Jimmy, here's something that might be right up your alley. It's off the new Papa Roach album.
Papa Roach?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that guy kicks ass.
Yeah, well, there's actually no one in the band named Papa Roach, but I think you'll like this. It's off their new CD, Fear. So, you like that, huh?
Liked what?
That song I just played, Papa Roach.
Papa Roach?
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I think you ought to play some Papa Roach sometime instead of that other bull crap that you always play on your show.
Well, Jimmy Jeff, I just played
the... 'Cause you know, Papa Roach kicks ass. And maybe if you played some Papa Roach once in a while, people might actually like your program.
Well, you see, what I'm trying to...
I saw Papa Roach last year at Rockfest, and they did that song, Cut My Life Into Pieces, This Is My Last Resort.
Yeah, I know they do that song.
Suffocation, I'm bleeding, I don't give a rat's ass if I...
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Sure. Well, yeah, you've given me a good idea, Jimmy. How about I play some of the new Papa Roach?
Well, hell yeah, man. Now you're finally saying something that makes sense.
Sure.
You may not be as stupid as you look.
Okay.
Falling out, falling down, and I'm crawling to you to confess my intentions.
Okay, Jimmy Jeff, I know you said earlier that you like Dokken.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, do you remember that band Striper?
Striper?
Yeah, they were like a Christian band.
Striper. Oh, yeah, yeah. Are they that band that wore the bee costumes?
Yes, yes, exactly.
I think I remember them.
Right. Well, what would you say if I told you the singer from Striper got together with the guitar player from Dokken and made a new CD?
Why the hell would they do that?
Well, I don't know, but it's called Sweet and Lynch.
Sweet and Lynch?
That's right, Sweet and Lynch.
No, that ain't the name of a band. That's sounds like something I'd put in my coffee.
Yeah, well, that's the name of the band, and here's a little taste of Sweet and Lynch right now. Yeah, does that take you back to the 80s or what?
Dude, did I tell you about my friend's band?
Yeah, I think
they got a guitar player that's better than Eddie Van Halen.
Right.
They play some Motley Crue songs.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, dude, when they play AC/DC, yeah, I swear to God, you would swear to God that you are listening to AC/DC.
Really?
I swear to God, it's like Angus Young.
Yeah?
Yeah, Angus Young.
Okay, well, back to the Sweet and Lynch album. It's really not my thing, but I kind of wondered what you thought of it.
Oh, dude, did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I did.
Man, I'd say, what was up with that, man? You know, I gotta go take a leak.
All right, Jimmy Jeff. Well, it's been nice having you, man. Glad you're not mad at me, and I will talk to you soon.
Oh, dude, I could not be mad at you, man. You're like my best friend.
All righty. Okay, here's a little bit more of that Sweet and Lynch. I hope y'all had a good February. I know I did. A lot of cool things happen in February, like Black History Month.
Yeah!
And, of course, being a white guy, that's very important to me.
Don't lie to yourself!
I know I spend most of the month studying up on my black history, and I also watch a lot of NBA basketball.
What's going on with that?
Also in February, Valentine's Day. This year I got my wife Lindsay a card and some flowers, and we went out for a nice steak dinner. And I really cannot express enough how lucky I am to have her. She's not only beautiful and sexy, but she gives me more love and respect than any person I've ever known in my life. And it is just an honor to be her husband.
You know that somehow she's just going to wise up and realize she's with a dork and it ends.
And what else is in February? Well, it's my birthday. And for my birthday, Lindsay gave me the greatest gift of all. Tickets to see The Who.
Who?
Yeah, I know you thought I was going to say love or something like that, but no. I have wanted to see The Who live ever since I was in high school, and I never have. Pete Townsend is one of my ultimate guitar hero rock stars ever. And when I heard they were coming to Kansas City this May, I kind of hinted around several hundred times that, God, that would be so awesome to see. And lo and behold, she got us tickets for my birthday, and we're going to see them, and I am stoked. And I've already warned her that I will probably break down in tears at some point at this show, but she's cool with that because she's cool like that.
How much of a wimp are you?
I want to thank all you guys for your happy birthday wishes on Facebook. And also, thanks to everyone who wrote a kind review about my podcast on the iTunes store. Thanks so much for spreading the word about the show and for all the nice things that you said. If you'd like to get a hold of me, make sure and go to my website, montycalvin.net.
I still have not been to it.
As long as you're there, you might as well buy one of my CDs or T-shirts, or possibly buy one of my paintings.
Nobody ever does that!
And finally, before I go, did anybody see that video of Adam D. from Killswitch Engage winning around $50,000 in prizes on The Price is Right?
Not a chance!
It's just another example as to why that guy rules. Not only is he a musical genius, but he went on a TV game show and won a car, a truck, and a vacation. And even though he was wearing the dreaded man sandals when he did it, I still say that guy is awesome.
I used to think he was kind of geeky, but now I think he's kind of cool.
So make sure you go on YouTube and check that out. But before you do that, make sure you listen to this song. This is a tune from an Adam D. side project called Times of Grace. It came out in 2011, and it was my favorite CD of that year. The whole thing is great, but this is one of my favorite songs off that album, and it's called Hope Remains. But that's gonna do it for me for now. I'll be back soon, but until then, this has been Monty saying, take care, don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me, and
rock on.
We'll be right back.
This has been Monty's Rockcast.
Ah, that was a letdown.